have everybody back here. All of you here are familiar with our offering buckets. If you'd like to place your offering in either one of these. any prayer requests this morning? Yes, Ken. Right. Will do. Anything else? I know that Miss Ruth Messmer is having some rough days. She hasn't been feeling good lately. Pray for her. Pray for all those that aren't here today. Pray for Pastor Wes and Mona to get home safely today. I'm glad they were able to get away for a little while, and I hope they've had a blessed time enjoying some outdoors. And I'm sure it was cooler where they were at this morning. We're complaining about it being in the 30s here, and I know it is for them there, too. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious, loving Lord, we just thank you for everything that you do for us, Lord. We're just so undeserved of all that we get. We just thank you for taking care of us. Be with those who are around us, Lord. Be with those who are sick, those that can't be here. Lord, I pray for all churches across our land. I pray for the ones who have tested positive with this COVID, Lord, and those that have to be around them, Lord. Just heal our land, Lord. Be with our doctors and our nurses and all those researchers. Lord, we just thank you for everything that you do for us. Lord, we thank you now for this service this morning and those who have come to share in word and song. Be with us and help us to praise your name. In your holy name I pray. Amen. All right, Terry, would you come and join us?
Thank you. Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you again this morning, and it's really a blessing to be able to come and sing for the Lord, and it's another blessing to be here at Hunt Springs. I know several of you, and it's just nice to be here. I appreciate having Pastor James here and his wife, Miss Diana, and I hope you are blessed by the songs that I have. First, I'll start off with a little Randy Travis. Farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education. Two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw the stop sign. 18-wheelers can't stop on time. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. Guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you, what you leave behind you when you go. Well, that farmer left a harvest, a home and 80 acres, faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children. She did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he laid his blood-stained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows.
guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's a story that our preacher told last Sunday as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher. He gave this Bible to my mama who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Well, he picked up dust and he threw it forth, and he made a man that could walk and an eagle that could fly, and he sent forth light. He said, let it be. And he made a starry, starry night. He made the raging sea. And one day when I was walking all alone, he laid his hand on me. He laid his hand on me. Well, he wrote the song that the songbirds sing. And he made the earth spin around the sun. Ain't that the coolest thing? He created a fish that could swim upstream. And he made some little tiny wings for the big old bumblebee. And one day when I was walking all alone, he laid his hand on me.
He laid his hand on me.
He laid his hand on me. Well, words cannot tell it, 'cause it's better felt than told. The change he made in my life when he reached down for my soul. And when you hear the message from the man himself, you won't have to hear it, oh, from anybody else. Well, he gave me a light. He said, now let the thing shine. And he gave me a song. He said to sing it. Well, he said to ring it, and he's with me all the time. He gave me a hope that would set me free from all the troubles that I've had down here. Everything that makes me blue, 'cause one day when I was walking all alone, he laid his hand on me.
He laid his hand on me.
He laid his hand on me. Well, words cannot tell it, 'cause it's better felt than told. The change he made in my life when he reached down for my soul. And when you hear the message from the man himself, you won't have to hear it, oh, from anybody else. Well, he gave me a light. He said, now let the thing shine. And he gave me a song. He said to sing it. Bell, he said to ring it. And he's with me all the time. He gave me a hope that would see me through all the troubles that I've had down here. Anything that makes me blue, 'cause one day when I was walking all alone, he laid his hand on me.
He laid his hand on me.
He laid his hand on me. Yes, he laid his hand on me.
Thank you. And hope one day he's laid his hand on all of y'all too. Everybody needs to come to know the Lord as their Lord and Savior. This is at the shepherd's side. Little lamb struggling on my way, just like all the others, I sometimes go astray. I've searched for greener pastures, oh, but they're so hard to find. The more I try to lead myself, the more I fall behind. At the shepherd's side, I will have no fear, for I recognize my master's voice as he draws near. And when he touches me, I no longer cry, for I'm safe when I'm at the shepherd's side. When this life starts to bother me, he anoints my head with oil. Oh, how he makes me lie down sometime and rest from the journey's toil. When I'm afraid to walk through the snares that await me every day, I keep my eyes on the shepherd. He's already been this way. At the shepherd's side, I will have no fear, for my master's voice as he draws near. And when he touches me, I no longer cry, for I'm safe when I'm at the shepherd's side. And touches me, I no longer cry, for I'm safe only when I'm at the shepherd's side. Thank you. Well, as you all know, 2020 has been a pretty rough year, hasn't it? There's a lot of things have befallen us, tornadoes, and hurricanes, and COVID virus. But I'll tell you one thing, when Jesus says it's enough, that'll be it. And he'll come back, and like he said he would. And the parts of this song, the title of this song is When Jesus Says It's Enough. The disciples met a storm on the boat that night. We're going down, they cried. They had forgotten that Jesus said, we're going to the other side.
For the Master arose and spoke to the wind, and they saw the storm obey. Jesus said, it's enough, and it went away. When Jesus speaks peace to my situation, all my sorrows have to flee. I know He is aware, and He really cares about all that pertains to me. I've had my share of trouble and trial. Sometimes the going gets rough. But when Jesus says it's enough, it'll be enough. The lame man lay by the pool of Bethesda, no one to help him in. So when Jesus came along, how could that man know it met life's truest friend? Oh, the Master said, son, would you be made whole? And it wasn't just idle talk. Jesus said, it's enough, and He leaped and walked. When Jesus speaks peace to my situation, all my sorrows have to flee. I know He is aware, and He really cares about all that pertains to me. I've had my share of troubles and trials. Sometimes the going gets rough. But when Jesus says it's enough, it'll be enough. When Jesus speaks peace to my situation, all my sorrows have to flee. I know He is aware, and He really cares about all that pertains to me. Well, I've had my share of troubles and trials. Sometimes the going gets rough. Oh, but when Jesus says it's enough, it'll be enough. Don't you know that when I had my share of troubles and trials, sometimes the going gets rough. Oh, but when Jesus says it's enough, it'll be enough. Don't you know that when Jesus says it's enough, it'll be enough. Thank you.
Didn't I see you on that CMA program? Oh, it should have been. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being with us and allowing us to come. Good to see you. I got some pretty big shoes to fill here, Brother Wes. We praise the Lord for him and his ministry here across the road from us. And he'll stop by every once in a while and speak to us, and we just thank the world of him. And he's a fine pastor, and I know you're proud to have him in your church. And he's just all the time doing something somewhere. And we just appreciate this opportunity. I know it's been hot. It's been hot across the road. I don't know if it's been hot over here. I did see a dog chasing a cat come through the churchyard, and they both were walking. It was hot. And a bird landed in my yard the other day. It was so hot, he pulled a worm out of the ground, but he had to blow on it for 5 minutes before he could swallow the thing. It was just so hot. But I enjoyed the cool weather this morning, and it felt really good, and the heat pump is on. A lot of folks may not have turned yours on, but we did, praise the Lord. Up yonder in the sky high by and by. I think, is it off again? Oh, thank you, brother. Yeah. It's not that important. Don't worry about it. No need to hurt yourself there over the thing. Well, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to be asking you to turn to some references and some scriptures today. As I preach, I like to show people in the Bible where I find it best I can, and that way you know that what you have heard and what you see is the truth. The Bible is the truth. There are a lot of lies going around in our country today, and on TV. You'll be glad when all this election business is over, but the Bible is the truth. And I appreciated Brother Terry and his songs. They really are great and really have a witness and a testimony. If I mention to you who is a traitor that you could think of, everybody's mind probably Benedict Arnold there. He was in the Revolutionary War. He was a general, an American general. George Washington actually put him over the command at the fort at West Point. It was a fort at that time. And for some reason, whatever it was, he didn't want to support America. He wanted to support the British. So in 1700s, the war was in 1775 to 1783, the Revolutionary War. Somewhere along that time, he fell out and decided he didn't want to support America. He wanted to support the British. So he decided that he would, when the British came, he would just turn the fort over to them with no fire. Somebody found out about his plot, whether he was talking about it or whether he had written something down or whatever, but they found out about his plot, exposed him, and he left. And he went to the British side, and over there they made him another general, and in fact he led troops against the people that he once had commanded. So he was known as a traitor. Well, we have another traitor that we know about as far as the Word of God is concerned, and that's old Judas, Judas Iscariot. And if you have your Bible open at Matthew chapter 10, we're going to talk about old Judas for a few minutes this morning. I see mark it down. Made it. We have our name up in lights. Judas was on the roster. He was on the roster of the most Judas was out preaching the Word of God. for shoes, nor a staff, for the workman is worthy of his hire. You see, here is the abilities that the Lord gave to this young man. The first thing you need to know about Judas was the 12, he was blessed to have the ability to preach, to cleanse the leper. In those days, that is kind of like our pandemic of the leprosy, the Talmud, which was the written rules and regulations that all added to the scripture, interpretations of it. And the Talmud said you had to be 4 cubits away from another person that didn't have the leprosy. 4 cubits away. Well, a cubit is 18 inches. 4 of them is 6 feet. So that's been around for a long time. Well, and then you had to cover your face. You had to have a cover over you. You had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And there was no cure for it at that time. You remember that there were 10 that approached the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said they approached far off. They kept their distance like we have to do. And they asked him to heal him, and he healed them. 9 left, and 1 came back and said, thank you. Well, old Judas was given the ability to cleanse a leper. Above and beyond that, he was given the ability to raise the dead, and he had that ability to do that. Well, if you'll notice and go with to Matthew chapter 17 now, just a few pages over, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 24, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 24, and this is where that the Peter said, well, don't your master pay taxes like everybody else? And this is where, if you'll notice in verse 27, Jesus said, let a hook and take up the that first cometh up, and when you have opened his mouth, take and give unto them for me and thee. Judas got to see that. He knew about that. He knew that the Lord had set this up, and Peter went down there, threw a hook out. The first fish that came up, lo and behold, there was enough money in its mouth to be able to pay the taxes. Well, that's some fishing that I'd like to do. I gave up fishing a long time ago. I gave up hunting a time ago. My dad and I, we would fish and fish and fish and not catch hardly anything, and it was just unbelievable, and we just got tired, and we just didn't want to do it. Well, but my dad, his sister, had married a young man, and this man was named Otto Eatman. And Mr. Otto Eatman, from, but they called him Toad, T-O-A-D. Well, Toad was a fisherman extraordinaire. He could fish and catch fish where we couldn't. We would fish a place, couldn't catch a thing, take him over there, and the fish were jumping up, choose me, and almost wanting to jump in the boat with him. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. And I said, Uncle Toad, I said, you are a pretty good fisherman. He said, uh-huh. He didn't have any modesty either. He said, uh-huh. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I will catch a fish in your bathtub, and I'll put the water. Just now, West man, he could see all these things. And as in this little boat that started in the Sea of Galilee and that started on one side and said, we're going over to the other, which happened to be maniac of Gadara actually showed up later. But they were, what, you know, he was tired, and he wasn't up with them, so to speak. He was on the back asleep on a pillow. Scared to death, and they came back there and woke him up. Penalty for their sins, and certainly he cared about them. But they said, "Well, so this water's in the boat. We all scared half to death." And he said, as Terry said, "It's enough." And he spoke to the wind and the rain. And the sea coming into the boat and everything, and it all stopped, and it was calm, and they got on to the other side. See, what they didn't realize was Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." He said, "We're going to the other side," and they got panicked. They panicked, you know, and a lot of times we do that when we shouldn't. When the water gets kind of up and the wind, we get kind of scared of things. Jesus, don't forget, Jesus said, "We're going to the other side. I'm going to take you to the other side. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, he's coming to get us, and we're going home, and he's got it all, and we're safe." And we get scared sometimes. But see, Judas saw all that. And Judas was a blessed man. And then another thing that you remember, that Jesus went up on a mountain one time, and a whole crowd of people come up there with him, and he told Philip, he said, "Philip, now you go and buy some bread." People bread so that they can have a little bit of it. There's a little boy here, got 5 barley loaves and 2. Remember when I came to this country, down here in Sanford, North Carolina, to pastor a church? I was trying out for the church, and the first person I met was a wonderful friend, and he became a wonderful friend of mine. Some of you remember his name, Diaz Dickens. Diaz Dickens, his son is Randy Dickens, which is the partner in Joyner and Dickens Heating and Air. Well, so the that church to go in there and try out to be their pastor and was bad. But after the Lord worked it out and they called me to be the pastor, and I came down and pastored the church, well, there was a little country store in the area there. And I remember I was out visiting one day and going around, and it was, you know, it's a rural area, and when I pulled up, I got and went up and greeted him, and I never will forget, he was eating a can of sardines and drinking. "Thank you, brother." No sardines. Got to see this. And so Jesus said, "Well, tell people to sit down." And they counted. There was a crowd of people, and Jesus break it, and they said, "Go out." And they had story. Judas got to see that. Going around baskets. He was passing, taking up the walls. Judas was a blessed man. But if you'll notice, Psalm said that a fool, a person, the fool has said in his heart that God does not exist. Well, in chapter 2, to see and to do and be a person exist. He lived as if he didn't have ever a reckoning day for his actions. Carry away from something. So what we things away from his things away from it. So he didn't exist, and he lived as if he never would have to stand accountable for his actions. Even though he had all testimony in front of him, walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, hear Jesus, see Jesus, had abilities that Jesus gave. And you know, that's the way it is a lot today. They have all these gifts. They have all these talents. They have all these wonderful things that the Lord did. And that's a miracle. And they're living, and they've got all these blessings. They have good jobs, good homes, good everything. And they're blessed, blessed, and blessed, but don't really believe in Jesus. Don't believe that there's going to be a reckoning day. To the back of the Bible now for a minute. John chapter 3. This is important. If you don't go there, if you don't want to go there, write it down. John chapter 3. And look with me in verse 4. Only 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says this: whosoever committeth sin, and the word committeth there is not that you do it and then don't do it again. This is practicing sin. The word is practicing. So it's talking about unsaved people. Whoever practices sin transgresses the law, for sin is transgression of the law. It's a verbal statement because it says this: every sin is breaking of God's law. God's law now cannot be overlooked by God Himself. God is righteous and holy. If He just looked over that sin and said, I know sin must be paid for. There is a punishment for sin must be paid for. Now, Jesus has said this. He died on the cross and says, I will accept your debt, your sin. I will accept it. I have paid my blood. Take all of the debts that you've created. Put them on my account, and you will have a claim. Your debt will be paid. Your sin. You as a child of God. Again, no. When we commit a sin, now the word here is practice, but we commit them. What do we do? The Holy Spirit says, whoa, you use 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I confess my sins before the Lord, and He said, if you'll confess your sins, He'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness and put you right back in fellowship. Confess before you confess one sin as a child of God. You stand the judgment seat of Christ when the Lord sets that up. You stand the judgment seat of Christ. Well, what happens there? You get rewards for the gold, silver, precious stones, but for the wood, hay, stubble, which is burned up, it says you lose the reward. That's all that happens to you. But what about the unsaved? Well, if they don't let Jesus pay for these debts, guess what? In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, you don't have to read, turn over there right now. It talks about the book. Are written in the books, all your debts, each debt for the unsaved person. Think about it. Here's a person lived a long life. When the books are open, it's all about their debts. And they'll spend all eternity in the lake of fire to pay off. As if he never was going to have a reckoning day about those debts. The Bible said he's a fool. Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So he lives that way. But a fool. He was a foolish man. The group. He was a lost man. But there was going to be a reckoning day coming one day. Verse 2, John chapter 13 and verse 2. Simon's son to betray him. Here they are at the supper. Judas was a blessed man. He had seen all these things happen. All these things. The Lord had given him, even went out and preached. He'd heal the sick. He'd raise the dead, cast out demons and devils. But he was a fool. He was a foolish man. And never ever have to pay off those debts. Never have to worry about those. One day it'll come. one day it'll come. You see, the Bible said, you stand as a judgment seat of Christ, as a child of God, and it's a time of reward. Gold, silver, precious stones, you get a reward for that, you see. The unsaved stand the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. The books are opened and there's their deeds and there's their debts. Nobody's paid them off. Jesus hadn't paid them off. They'll complain. They'll say, wait a minute. Association or to this, sent money off over there to Dr. David Jeremiah. I did all these things. I was a good person. Oh, yeah. I should be included in and there's a book available there, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. It's the book of life. And I feel sure it's in alphabetical order. And they'll run down that list. I believe there's an angel standing over at it. He'll run down that list and say, oh, John Doe, no, you're not in this book. So you have to be judged by this stack about your debts. I'm sitting around the table there with Jesus. Group, and he's telling them, see it. They couldn't tell. Remember, you see how people those days down and prop up on the arm and dip. We don't eat that way, do we? I like to sit at the table. And especially if I get too close. The way they did. Have a clue. They didn't know. They didn't know who. Here was a man that had been with them, had the abilities that they had, did what they did, it all. He was blessed. He had opportunity after opportunity, but he lived. God didn't exist. All stole, as he created, things he did wrong. He lived that way, and the disciples did. Jesus does. All that Jesus knew, and he said, fool. To be saved. To the chief priest. Back. And they said, no. He could have confessed it to the Lord Jesus. Do you think the Lord would have forgiven him? But he confessed to the wrong people. And they said, we don't care. We don't care about you. Go on. Jesus went out. This is verse 12. He said this. While I was with them in the world, kept them in thy name, Lord. Talking to his father. Is it thou? Gavest me, I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. None of them is lost. You see, when Judas stands at the great white throne, fall. They're lost. And they nobody knows. It's a reckoning day. You probably are blessed and have been blessed. But I hope and pray you've not lived like a fool. Lived as if God didn't exist and you'll never have to face Him and you'll never have to. his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. His own self took our hurts on his own body and paid that debt for all your sins, world sins. All we have to do, we're not perfect. We commit them. We have to confess them. Lord, forgive me. I just shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, Lord. He restores us back. These people who don't get that debt, like old Judas, they will have to one day stand before God and the books are open. Some will have more debts than others. Some are good moral people that never is your Savior. Okay. You've been on you. Those days, every transgression is a sin. Every sin is of God, and God can't just forget about them and over, you know. Pretty heavy weight on your shoulders, isn't it, to think about that debt? What if you die right now? The Bible says that in the book of Job that every breath this is because I don't, however you are, whatever just a short one. But you know if you need to come down here, and we'll show you how to be saved. If you're not saved, if you are saved, you got some things on your heart that you got, you know, debts that you hadn't got settled, and you want to come down here and pray about them, and you're a Christian, we'll pray with you. But don't live like a fool. And don't live foolishly that you're not going to have opportunities. But he lived like a fool. And the final voice that came down was, he was lost. Pray that won't happen to anyone here in the building today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please, every head bowed and every eye closed. And brother, if you'll play just a... ask Jesse if he would to close, and then you'll be dismissed.